Let's just take a pause just to sort of regroup here and ask the Lord to just be in this moment. Father, I thank you that you have given us the joy of community, the joy of being together as family. And I pray that as we dive into your word this morning and look at some things about ourselves and about you, that we would come to a new revelation about how we're to walk together. We ask your blessing now upon the time here in the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Brother Shannon, are you going to take this message? I'm thinking for spring, yeah. Who's not here. Great, thanks.
So, you know, as we allow ourselves to be known by God and others, we have this opportunity to change who we are inside. You know, our effectiveness in life actually increases as we become more self-aware. You know, Jesus came to reveal things, didn't he? What, you know, some of the things he came to reveal, like, you know, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Son of God. He's we as Gentiles are heirs of salvation along with Israel. I mean, these are things that he came to reveal, right? But most of all, I think that the thing that he came is that, to make us aware of. Excuse me. Thank you for the water, John. Is to reveal himself, to reveal the Father, and to reveal ourselves for who we are in him. You know, Luke 8, 16 to 17 says this: "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light." So God, through Jesus, is in the business of revealing. Luke 12, 2-3 says this: "Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light." Think about that. "What you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the hilltops." You see, we live in a world that is hiding from his ever-expanding light. Have you ever thought of that? We live in a world that is trying to hide from the ever-expanding light of the Father through Jesus Christ and through us. You know, that's why he says, don't put your light under a bushel, right? Don't put it under a basket. We are the light of the world because we have Christ living within us. We emanate the light of Christ. And yet, even in our own existence, we have a tendency to join the world in hiding from that light. Now, if we live in a world where all things are being revealed, then how should we live? That's the question that we're looking at today. If we live in this world where all things are being exposed, and that eventually everything about us is going to be exposed, not just to him, but to ourselves. That self-awareness, that self-revelation is where we're going today. Exploring how that light of Christ shining on the world shines upon us to help us to understand who we are better, so that we can live together better, right? That's the goal. It's not just so that we can know ourselves, it's so that we can be more self-aware, so that when we live together with one another, we understand our limitations, we understand our foibles, we understand our strengths, and we're able to walk together in love in spite of that and because of that. You see? Yeah. You know, Jesus lived in a state of perfect self-awareness. Have you ever thought about that? He knew his Father. John 8, 54 to 55 says, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. He was talking to the Pharisees. But I do know him and I keep his word. See, Jesus knew his Father. He also knew that his Father knew him. Luke 3, 21 to 22 says this. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." So Jesus knew his Father, and he knew that his Father knew him. You know, that's an important thing for us in our world, right? You want to know that people know you, right? You don't want to just know someone. You want to know that they understand you, that they get you, that they know everything about you and they love you anyways, right? That's the state that Jesus was in with his Father. And just as the Father knows us completely, you know, you ever read Psalm 139? It starts out like this, and I'll only read the first four verses, but it starts out like this. It says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out the path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." You know, he knows the very next word that you're going to speak. That's how well he knows you. We are known by God. He also, Jesus, he came to reveal the Father to us through himself. You realize that that's one of the main reasons why Jesus came? You ever thought about that? Why did Jesus come? He didn't just come to die for our sins. He came to reveal the Father to us. John 14, 6 to 7 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have known me," okay, think about this. "If you have known me," no, "if you had known me," he's talking to people that don't know him. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him. You do know him and have seen him." Right? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's something that's really amazing. You know, like everything we know about Jesus is so that we could understand who the Father really is. It's this, so we're talking about being known, about understanding one another. Jesus came so that we could understand God. That's an amazing thought. It's not just so that we could be forgiven of our sins, which he did come for. But he came so that we would understand God. You see, the ultimate goal is that he wants us to know ourselves in the light of being known. You ever thought about that? Not only do he wants us to know God, but he also wants to understand ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 to 12. You know this passage? Know it probably pretty well. It ends with these verses. "Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully. Listen to this. Even as I have been fully known. You see, our awareness and our ability to walk into maturity comes out of knowing that we are known. You ever thought of that? Knowing that we are fully known draws us into maturity and calls us to set aside childish things in our life. We lay aside the things that we know are just childish. Yeah. Right? It is those who do not know him, actually, that are dangerous in life. You know, Jesus was talking with Pharisees, and he said, I have said all these things to you. He said in John 16, 1-4. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. And he's talking to his disciples, but he's going to talk about these Pharisees. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. Wow. They will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. So not knowing is a sign that we could be doing things and fully believe that we're doing the right thing, but actually doing the very opposite of what we think we're doing. That's what Jesus is saying is at stake here. He's saying that what's at stake is that if you live your life unaware, without revelation, without knowing that you are known and not knowing that God knows you and not knowing that you are then supposed to look and understand yourself, if you live in a completely unaware state, you will be like the Pharisees who did things thinking that they were doing them in service to God, but in effect, they were killing God, the one that they thought they were serving. That's what happens when we live unaware. When we don't understand ourselves, when we don't understand who our brothers are, we don't understand how we fit in the body. We live in this unaware state that actually causes damage, destruction, and death. See, those that know him and are known by him have a responsibility to live in that self-awareness. John 15, 12-15 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. Wow. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Wow.
What verse is that?
That's John chapter 15. Okay. 12-15. We're no longer servants of God. We're friends of God. And, you know, we go further on and we discover that we're also the children of God. Yeah. There's this deepening of intimacy, that deepening of being known, that draws us together, that pulls us into a cohesive family. You know, if you look at family, there are good families and there are bad families. You know, there are families where if you're part of that family, it's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
Being part of some families is not healthy, because at the heart of those families is a lack of awareness of who the people are in the family and a willingness to accept them for who they are. A healthy family is being aware of who the people are in your family and embracing them for their strengths rather than rejecting them for their weaknesses. A healthy family knows who's weak in an area and loves them anyways and says, how can I make up for the weakness that that person has in our family? How can I take my strength and join it with their weakness so that we can become one? But you see, to do that, we have to be aware of one another, but we also have to be aware of ourselves. We have to know who we are. Self-awareness is at the heart of how we interact with one another. Have you ever walked into a room and watched someone? You know, they're talking about themselves and they're totally self-absorbed, and you're standing there at the back of the room and you're looking at them, and you can see the way that other people are responding and the way that people are rolling their eyes or whatever, and this person is just totally unaware of what sort of an impact they're making on the room.
Yeah.
Have you experienced that?
All the time.
Yeah? Yeah? I have. And you look at that situation and you just say, what are they not able to see how they're impacting the people around them? And the truth is, they're not able to.
No.
You know, they're not able to because they have not learned to be self-aware. They have not been trained in themselves. They have not taken the necessary steps to think about how the words that they say impact others.
Yeah.
How the actions and the way that they present themselves in the family actually harm their relationship with the people around them or cause them to be isolated. You know, here's something I've written, and I'm going to read it verbatim just because I think it's a really powerful summarization of what I'm trying to say here. And think through this as I read it. As Christians, we are to take that knowledge that God knows us and the security that He still loves us to allow ourselves to look deep within so that we can see what He sees about us, so that we can deepen in our compassion for others around us and discover where we have been hiding from His light, so that we can step into that light and experience deeper love that comes from that self-awareness. That's a lot to process, right? It's a complex statement, but there's some depth there. You see, it's in love that self-awareness has power. It's an acceptance, both of ourselves and others, that our self-awareness really grabs hold of that sense of family and gives us an awareness that we belong, that we're loved. You know, self-awareness has a couple of different things that we need to look at. It's foundational to being able to understand how to walk together. You know, sometimes we have to dig into our family of origin. You know, our family of origin is our family that we came from. Who we are is a direct reflection of the family that we grew up in. Quite often, whether or not our family blessed us or cursed us determines how we live out our life in the world. Have you experienced being cursed by your family? Been told that you're not good enough? Been told that you could have done better? That's a curse. Yeah. Have you ever been told that you wish, somebody wishes that you hadn't been born? That's a curse.
That's a curse. That's not nice.
But you know, if we experience blessing, that changes everything. A blessing from our family are things such as, you know, you're so good at that. I'm really grateful for the way that you do that in our family. You know, this part of who you are, I really value that. I can see why God made you. I'm really glad he did.
Amen.
Those are blessings.
Yeah.
You see? Now, if our family of origin didn't give us a blessing, what did God do? He gave us a new family so that we could experience that blessing. And we are that family for one another. So if we're that family, what does that mean?
We have to bless one another.
We have to bless one another. We have to look at how we interact with one another and realize that sometimes the words that we say can either be a curse or a blessing. And we have to choose to make them a blessing. Which means that when we come together, we have a choice. We have a choice to see our brother and our sister the way God sees them, right? So we get to see one another, and we say to one another when we come together, you know what? Oh, man, you're just so helpful. I really appreciate the way that you help us. You know, there's a peace that you bring whenever you walk into the room. I really appreciate that peace that's around you. You know, you're just such a giver. I love the way that you give every time you come together with us. You're such a giver. You know, those are the blessings that we need to be thinking about putting upon our lips when we see one another. We have a choice. We can see the bad in one another, or we can see the blessing in one another. And as a, you know, God gave us a second chance to receive a blessing. So every Sunday when we come together, the goal should be, how do we reverse the curse that was given to us by our family of origin, and how do we institute a blessing in its place? Because it's in that blessing one another that we grow into love and community and strength. That comes out of that deepness that comes out of blessing. The truth is, our family of origin also is where our hidden sins are rooted in, right? Our addictions, our compulsions, the things that we do, and we look back at ourselves and we say, why did I do it? You know, quite often it comes out of the wounding that comes to us from our family of origin. But the good news is that God has called us into a new family. I think that's the thing that we really need to remember. Every time we gather on Sunday, we're in a new family. We have a chance to change. We have a chance to grow up. We have a chance to leave our childish ways behind us, right? Our childish ways come out of that family of origin pain, or maybe even the lack of family, the longing for family that we never experienced. Because you can be in a family and not have a family. You ever thought about that? You can be in a family and be all alone.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we're in a family now. And our ability to love one another and to interact with one another comes out of this new awareness that we are known by a Father, and He loves us anyways. He loves us actually because He made us a specific way. And He wants us to embrace who we are and to love one another for our strengths. I'm doing a course on leadership development at seminary right now. One of the things that I had to do is take a couple of tests. I'm going to be, you know, a little bit vulnerable here, and I'm going to share with you who I am. Is that okay? One of the tests I took was, it's based on a Myers-Briggs type of assessment, and it's free online. It's called 16personalities.com. And the results of my test are that I'm known as what's called an executive personality.
Surprise.
Yeah. Even the word just, you know, executive. Some people here are responding already and saying, yeah, okay, I get you. Now, it's known by these codes. It's called an... Actually, I'm going to write it out just so you can see what I'm talking about, because I'm going to give us some homework afterwards. I'm what's called an ESTJ-A. Okay? And that's the executive. And I have a sentinel and a people mastery. So I'll explain all of this as we go through this. So my executive personality, ESTJA, the acronym means extroverted in the way that I interact with people. I'm observant or sensing. Sensing, they're using the Myers-Briggs personality thing, but basically sensing, they sort of modernized that phrase and called it observant. So I'm observant in the way that I direct my mental energy. So I think about things. I think through situations. And I direct my energy by observing people. Okay, so when I come into a situation, I observe what's going on. That's my primary way of doing things, is I observe what's going on. And out of that observing, I end up with the T, which is thinking. I'm thinking in ways, that's how I make decisions. I think through things. And then my J is a judging. Now that's my approach that I take in how I, in the way that I interact with things. I judge. And A means that I'm very assertive in the way that I express my abilities and
assertive is better than aggressive.
Well, assertive, yeah. I mean, and you're right. I mean, you can look at things in a negative way or in a positive way, but remember, God made me this way.
Right.
That means that I need to embrace my assertiveness without becoming aggressive. Right? And that's a good observation, Troy. So, the strengths of my personality are that, and listen to this, here's my strengths. I'm dedicated, strong-willed, direct, honest, loyal, patient, reliable, organized, and I enjoy using all these to create order by organizing others. Does that sound like me?
Sounds controlling a bit.
Well, maybe that's your own wounding coming out. But you know, God made me that way, right? So those are my strengths. Now, if I'm not walking in the light of God, and if I'm not allowing His light to direct me in my personality, here's my weaknesses. Okay? I can be inflexible and stubborn. Now, Rita's probably going to nod her head all the way through this. I'm uncomfortable with situations that are not conventional. I'm judgmental towards people who are unconventional.
Right.
I'm focused on my social status, unable to relax, and I have a hard time expressing my emotions. Yeah. Now, when I'm not walking with God in grace and self-awareness, that's who I am.
That's what you got to live with.
That's what Rita has had to live with at times in our life. You know? And I know that I've allowed those negative things to be part of my life, because it's growth is a journey. And if we think that we're going to be strong all the time, we're fooling ourselves. But the truth is, my strengths are what God's after. My weaknesses are what the enemy wants me to live in. The enemy wants me to live in my weakness. God wants me to live in my strength. Now, the test results had two other identifiers, the sentinel and the people mastery. So, as a sentinel, I was intrigued to discover that while cooperative and practical, I create order and stability everywhere I go. This reminded me that the role of... Now, I see myself as an apostle, right? So, my role as an apostle is crucial in creating foundations for the church. Very interesting, eh? You know, how these things relate to who I see myself as. And the role that I believe that God has given me as a gift to the church. So, thinking about all those things, I create order, I organize people to create order, I create foundations. What's an apostle? Someone who creates foundations. Right? It comes out of my personality. I can't help but be who I am. This is what I'm trying to show you. As a sentinel, I am meticulous and great at administration and the logistics, refusing to back down from the very tasks that I'm given. This fits well with my understanding of myself and my administration gift. See, I'm also an administrator. What's the role that I have with the Christian Ministers Association of Canada? I'm the registrar. I'm the administrator for the entire organization. I make that organization run.
Wow.
It's because of who I am.
Do they pay you?
Yeah. Yes, they do. Thank you. But you see what I'm saying? In other words, why do I take the jobs that I do? Why do I do the things that I am doing? It's because of who I am. Why do you do the things that you do? It's because of who you are. That's the revelation I want you to think about while I'm talking about myself here. Now, this people mastery is a strategy of how I do these things. So, with people mastery, it's not something I'd really had a revelation of before until I took this test, but it really fits who I am. I feel comfortable leading a crowd of people. I'm more comfortable up here than down there. I use my communication skills to command and direct people towards a task and get it done. I want to organize the world, right? Conquer the world through organization. They kind of got me, didn't they? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, think about this. If you took that test, you would discover a lot of things about yourself. And you would have a better understanding of your strengths and your weaknesses. Remember? Yeah, it's 16personalities.com, and that's going to be part of your homework. I'll tell you about that in a bit. But you understand what I'm saying, is that understanding yourself allows you to walk in the light. It gives you a choice as to whether you want to walk in the light. Because you can understand yourself and still choose to live in your weaknesses. You see, I could still be that stubborn jerk that caused Rita a lot of pain for a lot of years.
That's right.
I could have chosen to stay that way. Yeah. And maybe I wouldn't have a marriage after a number of years of that. But you see, I have a choice every day I wake up. Am I going to live in the light and my strengths? Or am I going to allow the enemy to tempt me to live in my weaknesses? Am I going to live in the baser part of who I am? Because that's still part of my nature, right? The stubbornness is both a positive and a negative. I am resolved to achieve something. Remember I told you guys I had two assignments this week? Right? I didn't know how I was going to do it and preach. Well, I got one done. And I think I might be able to finish the other one by my deadline of 9 o'clock tonight. And I'm preaching. It's because of I'm resolved to achieve. But that could also be a stubbornness, right? If I refuse to change.
We'll find out after 9 o'clock tonight.
Well, but I'm also, you know, I'm resolved. You know, like, if I don't get it done in time, I'm okay with that because I've learned to also have adaptability. And but what I'm saying is that there is also a side of me that can be just meanly stubborn as opposed to graciously determined. And there's a difference in how we approach things. This other test I took is called StrengthsFinders. It's done GallupStrengthsCenter.com. That's the website. I took this test. It costs money to do this one, so I'm not going to suggest that you go and do that. It's not a lot of money. A couple, maybe $20 or $30. I can't remember exactly what it was that I paid a couple of years ago to do this. But it gives you your top five strengths. And the idea behind this is that a lot of people focus on what they're not good at and they try to get better at it, right? I'm not good at details. And, you know, they're forever trying to figure out how to do accounting. It's like they've spent all of their energy trying to improve on the things that they're not good at instead of learning how to take the things that they are good at and get better at them. Welcome. So StrengthsFinders, this test that I took, its whole premise is that we're going to tell you what your top five strengths are. And we want you to then use those five strengths to become good at who you are, rather than focusing on the things that you're not good at. Okay? That's the idea. So here are the five things that I am really good at. Okay? I'm going to give you the words. I'm an achiever. I have command. I have connectedness. I have significance. And I'm analytical. Now, let me explain each one of those things to you. As an achiever, I have a great deal of stamina. I work hard and take great satisfaction from being busy and productive. Sounds a little bit like this, what I was talking about, remember? Command. I have presence. I can take control of a situation and make a decision, right? Connectedness. Again, these are all of my top five strengths. Connectedness. I have faith in the links between all the things that I experience in life and believe that there are few coincidences and that almost every event has a reason. I can watch situations unfold and say, I understand why God made that happen. I can see the connections between these people and events. I see those things instantly. Significance. I want to be very important in the eyes of others. I am independent and want to be recognized. I didn't see that as a strength for quite a while. But I finally came to understand that if I live in the light, I can live with that. Because it motivates me to serve others.
Yeah.
It motivates me to do things for other people. Now, some people may look at that and say, that's a horrible strength. Yeah.
That's a weakness.
Some people might look at it that way because of their own personality.
Right.
But for me, I finally came to understand that strength, which I didn't really like, is actually a good strength. Because it's what keeps me doing things in the kingdom. It's what makes me get out of bed in the morning. It's what makes me want to serve you. It's what makes me want to do a sermon as well as two assignments in 1 week.
Wow.
I didn't want to miss the opportunity to serve you by sharing with you what God had put on my heart. Analytical is my fifth strength. And what that means is that I search for reasons and causes and have the ability to think about all the factors that might affect a situation. I'm able to think through all of the details, why things are connected. Now, you can see, just by me sharing those two test results with you, how I am. And you that know me, you're all sitting there nodding your head, right?
Well, I think you're, that you're,
you could be a director of a symphony.
But you're all sitting there. The point is that you all, I've shared my results with you in these two tests that I've taken for one reason, to show you that knowing myself, I'm able to share who I am with you, and you're able to say, yeah, I get Shannon. I understand how he fits within our body. I understand why he's the one who should be doing these things and not those things.
Yeah.
And that's the key. I should be doing these things and not those things. I should be interacting with people in this way and not in that way. And you, now that you know me a little bit better because I've shared this with you, you can fill in the gaps and say, well, Shannon's not very good at this. And maybe instead of me trying to get him to be that way, I'm that way. Maybe I should be doing that. Maybe I should be the one who steps up and says, you know what? Shannon's horrible at that. Maybe I should be the one who does that for him. Maybe I should be that person in our body. Right? So what about yourself? Who are you? See, as a church, we live in a community as a family. Knowing ourselves, being self-aware, right? That's what I'm talking about. Being self-aware, that's the key to our ability to get along and to grow together. To get along and to grow together. The most important thing I've learned about my strengths was that I should work on getting stronger in the areas that I'm strong, and lean on others for the areas that I'm weak in. That sounds like that revelation that Paul gave us of the body, right? About us all being part of a body and not trying to be a part of the body that we're not made to be. It sounds also like I should be covering over the weaknesses of my brothers and sisters and helping them in the areas that they aren't good in. Think about who you are in the body. Think about that. As I read this passage, think about your own level of self-awareness so that you can identify areas where you need others to help you. Are you aware that you need help in certain areas? Self-awareness, that's what we're talking about today. Think of areas where you know you are resisting change because maybe it's painful to change. So, as I'm reading this passage, I want you to be putting, just close your eyes as I read it, okay? I'm serious, just close your eyes because I'm going to read this passage that Paul wrote about us being a part of a body. And I want you to think about yourself, and I want you to think about where you could help others, how you fit in the body, and where maybe you have been resisting change because it's painful. It's an area of woundedness in your own life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 12. And I don't want you to read this with me, I just want you to listen. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts? And I will show you a still more excellent way. What is that more excellent way? You realize that this is chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And the next chapter, the entire chapter, we've heard it every time we go to a wedding. The love chapter. You see, love is what allows us to cover over the weakness of a brother. Love is what allows us to focus on our own strength and not worry about the area of our weakness, because we know that our brother, our sister has our back. We know that we are loved because we are known to one another. We know that we are secure in the family because God knows everything about us even before we do it. He knows when we fail. He knows when we screw up. And He loves us anyways. And He says, just come to me. Accept that I accept you. Accept that you are known fully and I still care about you. Isn't that amazing? God knows everything about us and He still loves us. The truth is the same is supposed to be the how we respond to one another. The greatest need in our city is community, family. We talked earlier about how we are often cursed by our families, and God gives us a second chance to receive blessing in the family of God. We come together so that we can help one another overcome the curse that we may have experienced in life and get a second chance, forgiveness, and a new family. Amen. Amen. That's good, isn't it? That's good news. You see, that's the good news of the gospel. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. He came that we would be able to set aside our past and chart a new future. He came that we would be able to walk knowing that though we have sinned, we can set that behind us and walk forward with Him. Isn't that great news?
It's great news.
That's the promise of God today. We can set aside our past and chart a new future with God. We can join a family and receive the blessing that we never received from our own family. We can enter into community where we can become known and to know others, where we don't have to worry about our weaknesses, and instead we can focus on the strengths of who God made us to be. We can set aside our past and we can choose a new future. Yeah. Maybe there's someone here today. Maybe all of us here today need to take today as a day where we say, I'm done with my past. Maybe today is a good day for doing that. If you're willing to do that, I'm just going to I'm going to talk about one other little thing here in a second. But maybe right now is a good moment, because I just feel like the presence of the Lord is on this. That this is a moment where you can say, I'm done with my past ways of living. I'm done with my past ways of thinking. My past ways of talking to people in this body, in this community, in this family. Right. And I'm going to choose today to be the day that I allow Jesus to transform how I live. He knows me fully, and he's invited me to become part of a community where I can be transparent and I can be accepted for my strengths, not for my weaknesses. Yeah. Where I can be covered over in the areas that I'm weak and encouraged in the areas that I'm strong. And as I do that, I grow up and I leave my childish ways behind me and I embrace maturity. If that's what you're thinking today, I'm just going to pray a prayer. You pray along with me and just make today a day where you say, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life in all areas. Okay? Let's pray together. Jesus, today I invite you to come into my life and to transform how I live. I'm tired of living my old life. And I embrace today as a new day where I can chart a new future with you. I know I've screwed up. I've messed up. I've not been kind in the way that I've spoken to the people in my life. Maybe even in this room. I'm going to choose to bless them from today on. I'm going to choose to look at their strengths and celebrate who you made them to be. I'm going to look at myself and accept that you made me to love you. And so I invite you into my heart right now in a brand new way today. And I ask you that today would be that day where I move forward with you because you love me. You've accepted me. And you care about me even though you know everything about me. Help me to love myself in that same way. And to love my brothers and my sisters here in this room. I ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay. Now for some of us, maybe that was the first time that we prayed a prayer like that. If you did, I would say that would be a moment where you say that I'm now a Christian. I'm walking with God. If we've already prayed that a prayer, something like that in the future, this is more like a recommitment to walking with God as your Father and with the brothers and sisters here as your family. So I'm gonna close with this. We got homework. Not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, because Lee's gonna be busy with her family this Thursday night. So next Thursday night, and plus there's some people missing, and I want to give everyone the opportunity to go through this. But what I'm gonna invite you to do is go to that website, 16personalities.com, and take the free test. It only takes about 10 minutes or so. 1-6 personalities. So 16personalities.com. And I can write it up here on the board as well. But it's 16personalities.com. And it's a free online assessment. And you'll get a code like this. Okay. And you'll get words like this. Your words will be different.
Yeah. Okay.
And your code will be different because everyone is unique.
Okay.
But what I want you to do is I want you to take that and I want you to, if you can, print it out. Print out the results, especially the strengths and weaknesses page.
Yeah.
Because there's a page that says what you're strong at, what you're weak at. But write down the code, and even if you don't have the ability to print it out, text me or send me, somehow phone me with that code, and I'll help you print out that page. Okay. And then on that Thursday night, not this Thursday, but the Thursday after, I'm going to come and we're going to walk through and talk about the strengths that we all have, where we're weak, the things that we may need help with. And as we get to know one another better, we're going to know how we can live together better as a community.
Yeah.
Can we do that together?
Yeah.
Okay. So not this Thursday, but the next Thursday. Bring your actually send your results to me ahead of time so I can maybe, and you may want to talk to me about your results so that I can help you process that. Right. But if you have the ability to print that out yourself, print it out yourself. If you don't, I'll print it out for you and bring it with me to that meeting. But just use this as a moment to become self-aware of who you are, who God made you to be, and why maybe you do the things that you do that you know are childish, that you need to set aside and grow up in. Right? I'm calling you as one of the fathers in this house to grow up. You realize that? But I'm doing it out of love. We need to become better at loving one another. And sometimes a little tool like this will just simply help us to know one another better so that we can overlook an area of weakness. You see, there's something that I've talked a lot about. Love covers over a multitude of sin. It's not loving to expose your brother's weaknesses.
No.
It's not loving to point out our faults.
No.
What's loving is to know that someone is weak in an area and to cover over that weakness instead of exposing it. Love covers over a multitude of sin. And so the goal of this is for us to learn how to love one another by being transparent with one another. By saying, here's who I am, and I know that even though I share that with you, you won't hold it against me. See, sometimes our old families, what did they do? They used our weaknesses against us. Right? They took that knowledge and they used it to manipulate us. That's not what we do here. As a Christian, when we become part of a body of Christ, what do we have? We have that security that the body needs us, that the body accepts us, that the body receives us. What happens when the body ceases to accept an organ? You have death, right? It causes death, especially if it's a heart. Or a liver or something like that that's not easily replaceable. This has been good?
Yeah?
A little bit different sermon today.
What about the tape message?
Yeah, I'll get that out. I'll send a copy to you.
Yeah, because I like to certain people. That
sure. Yeah, some people missed it today, so... And some other people that may want to receive it. Yeah, I'll get that copy to you. But let's just close in prayer right now and just ask the Father to bless what we're about to do. Father, we thank you that you are good to us. We thank you that you are a good Father. We thank you that you love us so much that you revealed yourself to us through Jesus. And that in revealing yourself, you invited us into this life of self-awareness where we now get to be aware of who you made us to be so that we can live in harmony with one another. Father, we love you. We just are so grateful that we're part of your family. Help us to live with love towards our brothers and sisters. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.